Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It Gets Better was founded in September 2010. It started with a video that was uploaded to YouTube, offering a message of hope to lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender youth. It urged them to tough it out through the bullying of their teenage years, and describing the positive future they could experience as adults. No matter how difficult things may be, it gets better. Now the mission is to communicate to LGBT youth around the world that indeed that can happen. And through a strong outreach program, the whole movement is working to eliminate the bullying as well. The team at the It Gets Better project has collaborated with the Gay Men's Chorus of Los Angeles in bringing the message to the stage. They have traveled all over the country, and they will be in Milwaukee on March 2nd. Not only a stage performance, the week before the show, artists will be in Milwaukee area schools and participating in community-wide events focusing on ending bullying and encouraging a conversation about LGBT rights. From February 25 through March 2nd, thoughtful discussion is taking place. We're going to be speaking this hour of the program with the writer and director of the show. We'll introduce her in just a moment, and we'll also be speaking with the CEO of the Marcus Center for the Performing Arts. First, though, to give you a feel for what the show is, we thought we would play a little bit of the opening number of It Gets Better.
Hi, everybody. My name is Tyler, and I'm the actor who plays CJ in the show you're about to watch. As soon as I step through this door, I'll become CJ. But before I do, I just wanted to talk to you as myself. You see, when I was 16, I was kicked out of the house for being gay. Maybe there are some of you out there right now that are struggling. I know what you're going through, and tonight's for you.
Lisa Reinhardt is writer and director of the show It Gets Better. She's a longtime board member of the Gay Men's Chorus in Los Angeles. She's co-artistic director of Speak Theater Arts and chair of the Department of Communication Studies, and that would be in Los Angeles as well. She has been haunted for many years by memories of her friends Mike and Marty and her student Ray, and she will share those memories. The performances and her dedication to this show is dedication to them and to their memories. She is with us by phone today, and we thank her very much. Also joining us by phone is Paul Matthews. Paul is president and CEO of the Marcus Center for the Performing Arts, has been so since 1998. Time goes by. He's actively involved in arts, entertainment, and tourism on the local, state, and national levels, and you may recall that he served for a number of years as a Milwaukee County supervisor. Liesl, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, our great pleasure. And Paul, thank you so much for being with us as well.
Good to be with you, Kathleen.
Yeah, thank you. What I love about this project is the huge nature of it. Not only, I haven't seen the show, but I've seen clips from it. Not only is it a very moving performance that involves the community, but you are really involving the community in so many important ways, aren't you, Liesl? The community outreach has been, I've seen examples of that too, very powerful.
It is a big part of it, and as important and effective as the It Gets Better project has been online, we know that there's also no substitute for the power of face-to-face communication.
Mm-hmm.
And for some people who may not have found the project online, may not have access to it for a variety of reasons, to be able to have a face-to-face conversation with somebody who is younger and maybe having a rough time right now is so valuable. It's just, you know, those simple words, It Gets Better, hang in there. Not all life is like high school. Everybody needs to hear in some way, and so we're trying to make sure nobody slips through the cracks.
Mm-hmm. And what I would imagine might come from some of these sessions is it really is an awareness session for everybody in the high schools and in the community to try to combat the horrendous bullying that still takes place.
Definitely. You know, we're really focusing on climate, and we're all responsible for the climate in which a young person is growing up and making sure they feel supported, hopeful, and sometimes that comes from peers, but it also can come from adults and educators in subtle ways that they may be unaware of. So our outreach programs also talk with adults. We talk with teachers and future teachers in various cities. We've done all kinds of different programs to try and, try and make sure that the net around which all these students will grow up, that, you know, this climate is supportive, even if it's not yet thriving in mm-hmm. all of these areas, that they have resources, they know that they have allies, and the theme of having more friends than you know is a very pervasive one in our production.
Paul, how did you get the show to come to Milwaukee, and why is it important that it be here?
Well, at the Marcus Center, we're probably best known, of course, for the performing arts on our stages, but a key part of our mission is to build cross-cultural understanding in the community and to promote diversity through our programming and our other initiatives. And when we looked at this program, we were excited not only for the performance itself, which is ending the week's commitment here by the It Gets Better Project, but it was the opportunity, and by having it on our stages, of course, promoting more understanding and acceptance on the part of the community about LGBT youth, but also to take it a significant step further, which was by bringing this in, we're bringing this entire week in. And so we're able to extend our work in diversity and cross-cultural understanding and our support for that into the community through an entire week of events.
Yeah, so how are you doing that? Are you going to schools, members of the cast?
Yes, they're coming in on Monday, and there is a week series of events in various schools and community organizations, which is provided at no cost to them by the It Gets Better team. And they'll be facilitating these discussions, and some of them are performances. And then we'll have a World Cafe on Saturday, and then we have this wonderful choral performance on Sunday. So many of those events during the week are not public, but the performance certainly is. So it's engaging not only the youth, but people in the community who support them in a variety of ways throughout the entire week.
Mm-hmm. Liesl, I know this is probably difficult story to tell, but you have said that you felt a calling to compose this work, partially because you lost some friends.
Yeah, I grew up in a number of small towns. In fact, they were mostly in rural Colorado, but my parents have since settled in Union Grove just down the road.
Oh, really?
After I got out of college, I actually lived in Racine for a little while, and I worked at a small television station in the area. I'm really familiar with this neighborhood and still come back around there for the holidays. And I've known some LGBT folks from around Wisconsin. And, you know, it's just, to me, that community is like a lot of communities. There are there's great supportive places where people feel they can really be themselves, and there's other spaces, maybe it's work, maybe it's home, maybe it's in their faith-based community where they may not feel quite so comfortable. You know, I'm a little older, and when I grew up in a small town in rural Colorado, you just didn't ever talk about issues of gayness. I really wasn't familiar with what that meant. And I thought that time has passed and that wasn't the case, but as we've traveled around the United States, I found that there are still a lot of small towns that feel a lot like the small town where I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And the sort of the first experience I had that really made this part of my life's mission to incorporate into my work is a man who was a friend of mine in high school, and after college, he was murdered. It was before Matthew Shepard's death. He was actually followed home from a gay bar in Denver, and he was thrown down a silo in the abandoned downtown Denver district. It was a horrible crime, but it was not really reported as an incident related to gay bashing or a hate crime of any kind at that type. We just didn't have the language for it.
Right.
And I've always felt that his legacy has never been fully shared, and he and actually one of the characters in the show has his name, and that was an important. His exact story isn't told, but the essence of his character is present in our show.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, throughout the show, the characters' names and the stories reflect real-life stories from members of the Gay Men's Chorus, members of my life and other people I've known, former students of mine in some cases, and also the cast members themselves who share their own personal life stories and their own It Gets Better stories on stage directly to the audience.
So give me an outline of the show itself. The members of the cast tell their own personal stories. What's the structure of the show that you've written, Liesl?
The show actually is a traditional musical in some ways. It's a jukebox musical that takes us through a narrative in the life of a high school student, CJ, who we were introduced to in your opening clip. And he's having a particularly hard time, and a website pops up that is, you know, supposed to be a version of the It Gets Better project. We don't actually name it, but it's essentially that. And through an interesting device that I won't give away, he has some fun and lively interactions with a group of characters who visit him and talk to him about their experiences. And so he is affected by their stories and their music. We sing an array of songs that span everything from familiar pop songs. There's a nice array of fun pop music that people will be familiar with. We also have some original songs, including one song that is called You Have More Friends Than You Know that was written for us by Jeff Marks and Mervyn Warren. Jeff is the co-writer of Avenue Q, for which he won a Grammy Award, or a Tony Award, sorry. And Mervyn Warren is one of the original members of Take Six and a multiple Grammy Award-winning arranger. And they were very kind in writing this original song for us that will be sung in the show. It was on Glee last season, and that was a wonderful moment for us. But we still think the most moving performance will be done by singers from your area, because that song will be sung in the show by the community chorus, who arrive as part of the narrative of the show. They actually are in character and come out at a very powerful moment and will share that song with the audience.
Paul, do you have that chorus put together?
Yes.
You do?
But we are still looking for volunteers.
I thought you might be.
We are. And we certainly, if people are interested, we want the stage filled with chorus members. So in Eline Hall, they can follow up Kathleen on our website, www.marcuscenter.org, or and just go to the It Gets Better event information. And certainly we are still looking for people to participate in what is a musical, but it's really a musical with a very strong message. And that's
absolutely. And we do include video, by the way, of the project, and interview a local person on stage who's made an It Gets Better video as well. So there's also a fair amount of the program that is breaking the fourth wall nonfiction content.
What happens when the members of the cast go to high schools?
It's usually pretty fun and powerful. But it's very different. I can't say that there's one experience we've had. We've traveled so many places. We've been to Iowa and Kansas, and we've been to Austin, Texas. We've been to Seattle. We've been to Ogden, Utah. And the surprise is that a lot of the stereotypes about cities don't necessarily reflect themselves in high schools. Each high school has its own feeling and community. We were in a high school in Seattle where it was a very tense climate for students. I mean, they have marriage equality in that state, but there wasn't a single out student in the entire high school.
Really?
As the students reported to us in their assembly. Really?
Mm.
We were very shocked by that.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, when we were at a school in Iowa, we found transgender students who were out and supported. So it's hard to say. I think so much of it comes down to the people in that school, the leaders, the teachers, the administration, and what they're willing to do to show that they support diversity. But one thing that we do find is that the students are hungry and eager to talk about these issues. I think sometimes as adults we err on the side of being conservative, and a lot of the conversations that happen about gay issues happen offline, and that's sometimes not the best way for those to happen when kids are going through complicated issues. So we try and be really direct, and the cast members share their experiences. We don't come in as experts and do any particular training. We more try and use stories and some songs to get them engaged and connected to us. But then we open up the floor and we have a very frank conversation with students. And often it's a time when a student who has felt harassed or someone they know has been harassed will stand up, grab the microphone and say, I think we need to treat each other better. And then there'll be this rousing applause, and you can sort of feel the students you know, feeling that they had a courageous moment that was possible for them to speak to their classmates about this issue. So I know there's a lot of wonderful work being done in schools,
sure.
And we're there to supplement it, but it is nice. I see a lot of excitement when we show up.
It yeah. must be such a good feeling for the performers, too, to let people know that for them, at least, it does get better to present that kind of hope for a future. It, what a great role for them to have.
It provides a lot of closure. You know, what I see is, you know, a lot of people still, as adults, carry a lot of baggage from high school. I don't know if you experienced
that. They sure
that,
do.
But, you know,
they remember exactly what happened, yes,
absolutely.
In great detail.
Absolutely, and it, they don't have to be gay or lesbian to have that experience.
Mm-hmm.
But to process it all the way through emotionally to the point where you're now sharing it for someone else, it helps that person to form their story, think about what happened, contextualize it. That kid no longer holds the power over them. Now it's a story, and I've made it through, and I'm telling somebody about that.
Right.
So it's really cathartic.
Yeah.
Paul, yes, go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, I would just add that just to pick up on what you've been talking about is that our ability to bring this into Milwaukee is 100% underwritten by sponsors, many of them corporations. And within a number of these corporations, there are LGBT affinity groups. And I mention that because a couple of them have requested that the LGBT program and the Gets Better project come into their corporations during this week because of issues they're dealing with, harassment in the workplace, tolerance and acceptance. And so as we know, it carries through from childhood. And there's a strong interest on the part of many adult groups in Milwaukee, too, to experience this program and get this message.
Yeah. Oh, it's good. It's all good. We're going to welcome phone calls, and one of our first callers is in the chorus, actually, and has his own story and song. He'll join us. His name is Danny. We're talking about It Gets Better, which finds its way to Milwaukee this coming week, and it will culminate in a performance March 2nd. And they're also looking, as you heard Paul say, for a community chorus. So if you're interested in singing and would like to support this entirely important and worthwhile endeavor, you should go to their website, which I wrote down somewhere, but I always have too many papers. So KP will remind me what the website is, and I will tell. Oh, he'll tell me right now. Thank you. MarcusCenter.org. At MarcusCenter.org, you can find out more information about the performance on March 2nd. And also, if you'd like to be involved, and that's at Eline Hall, involved in the chorus. It might be it will be a moving evening. Here's our phone number, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Liesl Reinhardt is writer and director of It Gets Better, co-artistic director of the L.A.-based Speak Theater Arts, and chair of the Department of Communication Studies at Mount San Antonio College. She is the co-writer of the National touring work, and she's done tours of It Gets Better all over the country. Also joining us this hour is Paul Matthews, and Paul is president and CEO of the Marcus Center for the Performing Arts, and he's been involved in arts, entertainment, and tourism on the local, state, and national levels for a number of years. Phone calls to you, to Facebook, The Kathleen Dunn Show, to emails, talk@WPR.org. We're also on Twitter @KDunnShow. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It Gets Better. The project is coming to Milwaukee next week. There will be a performance on March 2nd, and the writer and director of the show, the president and CEO of the Marcus Center for the Performing Arts, is also with us. And we go to Danny first, who I think is in the show. Danny, are you in the show?
Yes, I am. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Danny.
Thanks for the show.
Yeah.
I wanted to say thank you to Mr. Matthews for helping get this show here, and I wanted to say hi to Liesl, who I had the pleasure of meeting when this show came to UW-Whitewater in the fall, and I performed as part of the community chorus at that time, too.
Wonderful.
Danny, I'm so glad you're back with us. This is going to be great to see you.
Yeah, as soon as we even heard rumor that the show might be coming back to Wisconsin, the chorus that I sing with, Perfect Harmony Men's Chorus, we got really excited, and we started making plans to make sure that we would be part of the show again.
Well, we're delighted that you are, and I want to just add that you know, as we've talked about this with people in the community, they said, well, okay, this is a wonderful undertaking, but what happens after Sunday when the It Gets Better project moves on? And one of the things that we're doing is, of course, this is a collaboration in part with the Cream City Foundation. And because we can underwrite the entire week series of events, the ticket proceeds from the Sunday event will be given to the Cream City Foundation, which will underwrite future anti-bullying efforts in Milwaukee so that we can carry on this important message and this important work.
That's great. Can you tell us a little more, Paul, about the Cream City Foundation?
Well, the Cream City Foundation is, of course, a major mission in Milwaukee is to fund and support LGBT efforts in the community. They have a growing presence in Milwaukee, and they've been a partner in helping us organize this effort and pulling all the programs together. So this is a really important collaboration because they would be the vehicle through which we could continue on our work in anti-bullying efforts.
Yes. Danny, tell me about the show. I have seen little clips of it, and it looks as though it's a pretty powerful performance.
Yeah, it really is. The stories that you hear are real people's stories, as Liesl was saying. And what's great is about being part of the community chorus is we come in at, you know, probably the climax of the show, and we sort of materialize to the main character, CJ, and we sing to him. If it's okay, I'd like to sing a refrain from that song. You've already talked about it.
Oh, Danny, you're going to sing.
Yeah. I would love to.
Great. We'd love to have you sing.
This is You Have More Friends Than You Know.
Oh, good.
So we come to CJ in his time of need, and we sing to him, and it goes, you have more friends than you know, some who surround you, some you are destined to meet. You have more love in your life. Don't let go. Give it time. Take it slow. Those who love you the most may need more time to grow. It's gonna be okay. You have more friends than you know. And so,
thank you, Danny. Thank you.
Wonderful, Danny. Thank you.
And I'll be honest. Usually, we end up crying on stage because it's very powerful.
I would imagine. Thank you.
One of the things with the community chorus that was important to us was they serve two functions that are really important. One is that we can't tour all 200 members of the Gay Men's Chorus. We actually have six singers and an accompanist who travel. We wanted a full choral experience on stage. But also it's really a metaphor for the fact that it's the community's responsibility to care for its kids. And a big theme of our work is that every community has all the answers to all of its problems and questions within that community. And hopefully by being here, we can get people thinking about that and talking about that and coming together. And so the chorus should be a metaphor for that work.
Mm-hmm. Danny, thank you so much, and you're so brave to sing on the air for us. I could never do that.
Thank you. Yeah. What I wanted to say was that for us, it's a way that we live our chorus's mission, which is to create, enrich, and transform community through music. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what this show does. You know, we build a community of people who haven't necessarily sung together before, and then we change hearts and minds.
Not a bad thing to do in life. Thank you, sir.
Nope.
Thanks so much for your call.
Thank you. I'll look forward to seeing you guys in Milwaukee in a couple of weeks.
See you
and performing for you.
Thanks, Danny. Let's go to Rose next in Menominee Falls. Hi, Rose.
Hello. Boy, is that a hard act to follow.
You could sing for us if you want.
No, you wouldn't want me to
okay.
sing.
Okay, me either.
I'm a retired school social worker, and I worked at a middle school and high school. And just very briefly, I worked with a student, middle school student, a girl many years ago, who was just all over the place. I couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. She showed a myriad of different symptoms, and I just felt always there was some missing piece. But there was something very endearing about her. Although she'd drive me crazy because she was at my door every day. Mm. But it was the day after school was out, and she called me and asked if I would meet her at a local park. And had the image of sitting on the swings with her, and then she told me, and she came out. And it stunned me at first, and then it upset me that I wasn't more knowledgeable or aware or couldn't have picked up on, you know, what was with her. But I guess my major point is, after that, first of all, my caseload exploded exponentially.
Really?
All of a sudden,
oh,
there were all these kids.
Mm.
But at the time, I felt I really didn't know for sure what I was doing. And
mm-hmm.
I learned more from them than I ever could have, I think, given them, and including my own biases and what they were going through. So as I hear your program, I feel so sad that something like that wasn't available then, but excited that it is now, because I think how much easier my job would have been, but also for all those students who were clearly suffering in a wide range of ways. And the words and the music and the things that you're saying are just so enlightening. And so I'm very happy to hear there's something like this now.
Mm. Well, you followed the first act with a wonderful act, Rose, and think, you must think every now and then, and certainly the student you sat on the swing with and others, that you knew you were the right person at the right time, weren't you? You probably eased the way for many of those students.
Well, I like to hope so, and that student, over the years, we kept contact, and she had a ceremony where she joined her partner in a local park, and that was when she was quite a bit older.
Mm-hmm.
And she invited myself and my daughter to that and numerous things as she went on in life. And I haven't heard from her now for quite some time, but last I heard, she was doing really well. Educationally and emotionally, and she seemed to hopefully have gotten some traction.
Yeah. So. Well, Rose, if you can't sing, it's okay. Many of us can't, but I sure hope you'll be a part of the audience next week.
I would love to be.
Yeah, I think that would be terrific. And she makes a point, you referred to it too, Lisa, when you think about it, when I was growing up as well, this was not an issue that was discussed at all. I mean, I can see her consternation of being a counselor and not having LGBT issues, something that anybody was trained to do very much about. It just wasn't talked about.
Absolutely. And some school districts are really far ahead on it, and others are really just getting started. You know, the political discussion moved very quickly. I think a lot of people were surprised, even in the LGBT community, at how fast marriage equality moved forward as an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But social relationships follow slowly. And if you look at the civil rights movement as a model of that, you know, the Civil Rights Act didn't occur and then suddenly everything was fine. We really need time to unpack how that changes existing models of behavior, how we treat one another, how we talk. And, you know, it can take an enormous amount of time. Think about what educators have to go through with adapting to new standards and testing and everything else, and now we try and squeeze in there. And how to manage the complicated human relationships among your children and what they may be facing at home. And, you know, it's very difficult for educators and everybody who works in school districts to adapt to the conversations that are now undoubtedly occurring because of the political change in the country.
Mm-hmm. I think you'd probably like to have her in the audience, Paul, right?
Yes, very much so. Very much so. And, you know, we were talking before about the interest in the choir as the word went around, and of course we're encouraging folks to be part of that choir, that as the word got around too in the community about the availability of the various workshops and performances, that we've got over a dozen organizations that have stepped up and wanted to have it brought into their school or their community center. And I think that's an indication of how interested this community is to really begin to be more accepting and more understanding about the issues that LGBT youth face.
Mm-hmm.
That's been very encouraging as well, but no difficulty at all. If anything, I think we're going to have to juggle the schedule around to accommodate, but the folks from the It Gets Better Project and the chorus are just wonderful facilitators to contribute their time to be able to do this.
Yeah. Thank you, Rose, so much for your call. Kevin is next in Madison. Hi, Kevin.
Yes, hi. First, I just wanted to thank you for at least opening the lines of communication with the subject. I think it would have been extremely helpful for me to have this type of thing when I was in high school. I came out in 1994 in a suburb of Chicago in my high school and had terrible gay bashing issues and death threats in my high school. And at one point, I did have a rifle pointed at my head.
Oh, my goodness.
And luckily, it was really life or death for me at a specific moment in time in high school. And I didn't have any help. I didn't have help from the faculty. I didn't have help from the social workers. And I definitely had a really rough time with the students. But I will say this. I think the thing that helped me the most is that I believed in myself, and I started to understand who I was as a person, and I did a lot of reading, because there was no one to tell you anything. There was no one to help you, so you had to really help yourself at that time. And I started to understand who I was, and I stood up for myself, and there came a point where I had to fight or, you know, I'm done. So I fought back. And it did work in my favor. It's not going to work for everyone, but I had to do what I had to do. But I will say that I think for this group to go in and to schools and educate the students, not only are you going to be educating the students, you're going to be educating that faculty that has potential ignorance throughout. You're going to be educating the parents. The children are going to go home and talk to their parents about what they heard and saw in their school. And it's going to be so valuable, not just for that moment, but what it's going to do beyond that. And it's going to have a ripple effect throughout. And I think it's just amazing what this organization is doing. And I sure could have used it. And I was lucky enough to get through. And I know a lot of kids out there are close. I mean, they're close to the edge. And I think having this, having them come in and sing songs and talk about hope and hope for the future is absolutely mind-blowing, because a lot of these kids are close to not having any hope left.
Yeah.
And so, you could really save lives for real. You could save lives. I'm sure you've done it already and you might not realize it, and you're going to continue to do really amazing things. So thank you very much for everything you're doing, and this is a great radio show.
Thank you, Kevin. It does indeed get better. He's a testimony to that.
Kathleen, could I share just a couple statistics?
Sure.
If you don't mind, and I think it's worth noting that even though the assumption is that things have changed pretty dramatically, there was a 2010 report by the National Education Policy Center that found that 85% of LGBT youth are reporting harassment as a result of their gender or sexual identity. 1 in 5 say they've been physically attacked, and the suicide rate for those students continues to be 3 to 4 times higher than that of their straight counterparts, and we know it goes up in an unsupportive climate, and it's highest for transgender students. So we still have a lot going on in our schools. That it is very similar in some ways to what we experienced many years ago, because there just hasn't been that much change at the school level in many places.
Well, and maybe perhaps we figure, well, we got that one taken care of. We've got a number of states where you can have gay marriage, and this is something that people are talking about, and it's become accepted by well over half of the people in the country. But there are still issues here. There are still big issues.
We had a 17-year-old student, a high school senior, in one of our sessions in Seattle. And she was with a group of people. We were doing a community forum, and a lot of the people who had in that room been responsible for getting marriage equality. And, you know, they almost had a why are you in our town attitude, some of them, in a very positive way, just that we're in good shape.
Right.
And this young woman stood up, and I could tell she was a little nervous, and she actually said, you know, I appreciate that you can get married, but I don't want to get married right now. I just want to go home and have my parents accept me for who I am.
Hmm.
Don't forget about what I'm going through right now. And I think everybody in the room got a little quiet, and we realized, yeah, that the focus needs to shift now, but we, you know, we can't stop once the laws have changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Kevin, so much for your call. Tim in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hello there. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
It's wonderful to speak with your guests there. My name is Tim, and I'm working on the team that's organizing the...
All right, Tim.
Hi there. It's wonderful. It's going to be wonderful to see you and have you here again.
And, Tim, thanks a lot for your help on this, really. We've had a great group of people volunteering to help organize.
I guess I will just say my name is Tim Ruff, and I've been the organizer of the Community Chorus.
Oh.
And it has been just a joy to be part of this organization and this group. I started in on this with the Whitewater show and just found that being in the audience and then being part of the show was an incredible experience for me and helped me to find some healing from moments of my life when I was bullied. And I'm a straight guy, but I was bullied when I was in high school by a kid who thought I was gay. Mm. And he decided that he was going to end my life that day. So it was kind of one of those experiences when you're kind of like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So to be able to give like this has been an experience, and to see what happens. I can tell you that among the people who were in the Community Chorus in Whitewater, and from what I'm experiencing so far from the people in Milwaukee, there is a camaraderie, there is an understanding, there is an acceptance that happens within the group, and there is just a support that happens within that organization. I'm the president of the City of Festivals Men's Chorus here, and this is also a chance for us to, as Danny said, they for them to live out their mission. Ours is to sing in harmony, to bring harmony to a troubled world, and that's certainly what it lines up beautifully with what this group, with the It Gets Better project, is doing. It's wonderful. It's sad that this has to still go on. But it's wonderful that there are people who are putting an effort forward to make this happy.
Yes, thank you so much for the call, Tim. Sounds like you have some really extraordinary community support here, Paul.
Yes, it is extraordinary. It's been a real joy to work with this group of people who have stepped forward. Again, the Cream City Foundation and the corporations that have stepped up, the choruses, with Tim stepping forward and his friends and colleagues. I can't stress that enough. What a large undertaking this is. Tim has taken the lead on organizing the chorus for Sunday. And Tim, I think there's still room on the stage, if I'm not mistaken.
There's room for some more.
and getting help from volunteers organizing the schedule of activities during the week. So,
anybody who thinks that they can sing, whether or not they're more comfortable singing with the radio or they're on stage, come sing with us. You know, I had somebody say to me, well, I don't sing very well. I said, I don't care. Join us. This is about acceptance. So
that's
come
right.
Sing.
Okay. And how do people get in touch with you about all of this? Is it the same website?
Yes. Paul? If they go on the Marcus website, Marcus Center for the Performing Arts website, and under the show, It Gets Better. There's a section there to become part of it.
Good. Wonderful. All right. May many join you in your harmonious endeavors.
Many have so far, and more would be wonderful.
All right. Thank you again.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you so much. We'll take more phone calls in a moment. This hour, we're talking about the It Gets Better project. It was founded in 2010 with a video that went to YouTube, and it has become this really extraordinary project. The form that we're talking about is a musical, which was written and is directed by one of our guests this hour. It'll be performed March 2nd at the Marcus Center here in Milwaukee. And they're also looking for community involvement, too. So hop right over to the Marcus Center for the Performing Arts website and see how you can become involved in this as a singer or whatever. We have two guests with us. Our guests are Liesl Reinhardt, who's writer and director of the show It Gets Better, Paul Matthews, president and CEO of the Marcus Center for the Performing Arts in Milwaukee. And our show has also had people call in who are actively involved in this program. All right. Oh, and if you want to be, here's the number, 800-486-8655. Email talk at WPR.org. Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. And Twitter at K Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Let's go to more phone calls. Cheryl in Waukesha. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. Thank you. I just think the project is really great, and I think the more that the public can be aware, the better. And I wanted to relate my own experience and relationship to that. When I was in high school in about 1976, my brother asked me what I thought of homosexuality. I had absolutely no experience, never had a conversation, and I said, well, goodness, it just seems kind of unnatural to me. And meanwhile, I then went away to college and had gay friends, and I went to grad school, and I had a gay best friend. And so I asked Stephen, you know, I think my brother might be gay, but he's never said he is. I said, if you were his sister, would you want him to know? And he says, yeah, I would. I said, well, what if I ask him? Would that be okay? Do you think that would be okay to just kind of open up the lines there? And he said, yeah. He said, that's what he would wish his sister would do. So when I went home on break, you know, I saw my brother and I said, no, are you gay? And he said, yes. And I said, who? Does anybody else know? And he says, well, my parents know. Our parents know. And I said, well, why didn't they tell me? He says, well, I don't know why. And I said, does our sister know? And he said, no. And I said, well, would you like her to? And he said, yes. And he said, but would you tell her? Mm. And it just kind of got everything out in the open. And I just thought, I'm so glad, you know, I asked him, because it just allowed us to get a whole new level of depth to our relationship. He didn't have to feel he had anything to hide.
And how were your parents with all of this, Cheryl?
They were actually fine. I said, how come you never told us? And they said, it wasn't ours to tell.
Oh.
And they said, he didn't say, tell your sisters.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, so the whole process just sort of opened everybody up.
Mm-hmm. Lisa, you want to respond?
Well, I think that's wonderful. And, you know, it's really tricky because it you have to really negotiate each relationship and figure out what's right. But I think sharing that you're open and you're supportive and, you know, sometimes if there's ever anything you want to say to me, you know, just know, letting people know that that you're open in general, you know, and show that unconditional love is so important. But I'm really glad you had the courage to do that. You know, there are situations, though, where people do come out and they don't have a supportive response at home, and this still happens. And I think it's important for anybody who's a young person who happens to be listening to know that there are support resources. And one of the most important ones to know about is the Trevor Project hotline. It is a 24-hour national hotline that young people can call if they're feeling like they might want to harm themselves or they need someone to talk to. It's 1-800-4-TREVOR. And it's a wonderful resource. And I think everybody should know that does exist if you do find that the people you're talking to are not as supportive in front of you, that there are lots of people out there who are supportive and can mm-hmm. talk you through it.
How's your brother doing now? Is he in the area, Cheryl? Well, Cheryl's gone. I wanted to make sure he went to the show, and Cheryl did as well.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. Sarah in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi. Thank you very much. I just want to emphasize how much you are saving lives. I came out in the 70s at age 16 and was marched to the psychiatrist who told me I will never have a fulfilling life. Mm. And I was on the streets when I missed my entire junior year of high school. I'm not asking for sympathy. And on the streets, I nearly killed myself, but I met a high school teacher who convinced me to go back to high school, was very kind to me, and it does get better. I have a fulfilling life. I have a lovely partner, but that teacher that made all the difference in the world. So you doing this is just, I can't express my gratitude that you're doing this for the young people of today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's a great reminder, too, that it really, you know, we talk a lot about one person can change the world, but this is a really great example of how just being that one person for someone else mm-hmm. is something we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Being there and asking those questions and offering support, sitting on a swing next to someone, you know, and just listening is so helpful. Listening without judgment, letting someone talk and tell you what's going on with them, often that will sustain them until they click in and find their happier life.
And it's interesting that people have expressed that one person was in one case a teacher and a social worker, that people in our schools sometimes maybe don't realize how absolutely vital they are to somebody else's well-being.
We've met some incredible heroes along the way. I'm Facebook friends with a lot of them now. You know, and it is, it's just these one or two incredibly energetic, shining lights of teachers who, you know, they have all of these children's little lives in their hands and they are caring for them with so much love and support. And maybe they're providing the only love and support from an adult in that young person's life. And you can see how tired they are, but they keep going. And they're doing the day-to-day work. We're just coming in and singing for a day, and I just want to let anybody know who's listening, who is that person, know that you're really in the front lines, and we respect what you're doing, and it is making an enormous difference.
It sure does. Are you doing the program internationally?
We want to. It's definitely on our agenda. But as of right now, our focus has been the United States. The Gay Men's Chorus is mostly focused in Los Angeles for many years. And we've been actually doing high school outreach for, gosh, over a decade when it was a little bit trickier. So we've gotten kind of good about doing it here in Los Angeles. And so we decided to see how it would go in the United States. We weren't sure how we, you know, a group of gay men would be welcomed into high schools and in some cases middle schools around the country. But we know there's an enormous need. The chorus themselves have toured previously to South America and to Russia. Actually, 10 years ago, they were in Russia. And we know there's opportunities there. And I know that that's part of what we would like to do. The It Gets Better Project as an organization is opening branches around the world and opening support services, and we've talked with them a couple of times about how to get the show up and out of the country and into some of those spaces. In the meantime, though, there are a number of resources for anyone who can't see our show or is somewhere listening online around the world. Just going to the It Gets Better Project website, there are, I think, over 30 or 40,000 videos that people can watch of other people sharing their stories.
Oh, my goodness.
Songs.
Wow.
And they include everyday people, but President Obama has made one. Lady Gaga has made one. There's an incredible array of videos that you can watch at any time from home to hear other people sharing It Gets Better stories and inspiration.
Terrific. Paul, give us the details again.
Well, it begins on Tuesday, February 25th. I think, Liesl, you're coming in on the 24th because there's a rehearsal that night, I think, and for the Sunday performance. But then Monday through Saturday, or Tuesday, excuse me, through Saturday are when the choir members go out into the schools and have the dialogues in the schools and a few corporations. We should mention the karaoke night, I think, as well on Saturday night.
There's another chance to sing, right?
That's right.
At the Room. It's Saturday at 7 o'clock at the Room, on 2nd Street in Milwaukee, and the cast will be there. It's a piano karaoke, I think, right?
It is. It's a piano karaoke. It's going to be another fun way to meet folks and to share stories and to celebrate. And then again, the event is 7 p.m. The main event is 7 p.m. On Sunday night in Eline Hall at the Marcus Center, which is the performance, the musical performance,
mm-hmm.
music with a message. And the tickets are $20, $10 for students. And again, it is a paid event. However, as we said, we're very fortunate with the underwriting that we can take then the proceeds. All the proceeds from the ticket sales can be then turned into. Future anti-bullying program. So we really want a way to be able to carry this work on in some way
mm-hmm.
in the community.
Well, I'm sure you're going to. Thank you both so much. It was really an inspirational hour.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Our thanks to Liesl Reinhardt. She's the writer and director of It Gets Better. Paul Matthews, president and CEO of the Marcus Center for the Performing Arts. Go to their website and get more information. We're with you again on Monday. All Things Political with Bob Franken. The first hour of the program, the second hour, The Future of the Mind, with Michiru Kaku, professor of theoretical physics. So that's coming up on Monday. Great conversations ahead. Thank you for listening, and thanks to KP Whaley for production of this show.